Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Young, Beautiful, Successful. It's a podcast about Ariana Grande, and I'm your host, Gabby. So last week's episode was about Cassie David's book. Cassie David was Pete Davidson's ex-girlfriend right before he dated Ariana. She wrote an essay all about her experience with that breakup with Pete dating Ariana, and so we dove deep into that with Claire and Ashley from Celebrity Memoir Book Club. They host a podcast about celebrity memoirs, which I love. So check out that episode if you haven't already. This week, I'm joined by Molly McAleer. She has an amazing resume, which I will explain later. But we talk about a variety of things, her experience going to the tour, her thoughts on Ariana. We go through all of the Ariana news of the week, from the 3435 remix to Olivia Rodrigo breaking Ariana's records to the latest status of Netflix's movie Don't Look Up. Ariana just finished filming for that, so we talk a little bit about possible future of Ariana becoming a movie star. So we talk about a lot of things. So before we continue, I just want to remind you all to subscribe wherever you're listening, follow wherever you're listening. I'm trying to get the reviews up for the podcast, so that is my goal right now. We have 59 ratings on Apple Podcasts right now. So if you're listening on Apple, if you have an iPhone, if you're able to go and leave a 5-star review, I would really appreciate it because I want to get that to 100. So right now it is at, let me double check. As I'm recording this, it's at 59 ratings. Let's get it to 100. Let's see if we can get it to 100. I don't know. What's a reasonable goal? Let's say within the next few months, I want to get to 100 ratings. So if you could help me reach that goal, I'd really appreciate it. And as always, make sure you're following our social media accounts. It's at Ariana Podcast on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, everywhere. And if you're listening today, screenshot and post that you're listening, and I will repost you on Instagram story. I'll retweet you. Just let me know that you're listening. Before I play the interview, this isn't exactly an ad, but I am now an affiliate for Squadcast. Squadcast is the platform that I use to record all of my interviews on the podcast. So whenever I have a guest, it's recorded on Squadcast, and it's been great for me, super secure. I never have to worry about my audio getting lost. So I recommend it. If you're a podcaster listening, I have a referral link in the description of this podcast and also at my link in bio and all my social media accounts. So if you are looking for a platform to record your podcast, use my referral link and I will get a small commission, but no pressure. I'm just an affiliate for them, not an ad, but I just wanted to announce that. You will see my affiliate link in my descriptions from now on and at my link in bio. So I will get a small commission from that, but there's no pressure at all. Okay, now let's get to the interview.
Ready? Where my makeup stands at? Right there? Right here? Let me see y'all, let's go. I like to fuck with you, just to make up with you. Cause the way you be screaming my name make me wanna make love to you. I might break up with you, just to make up with you. At the end of the day, well, you know that I'm about to wake up. I love it when we make up. Go heroin my make up.
Okay, so today I'm joined by Molly McAleer, who has a very impressive resume. She's co-founder of Hello Giggles, founder of Solid Listen Podcast Network, and host of two podcasts, Mother May I Sleep With Podcast and Please Advise. She's also a screenwriter. So thank you, Molly, for joining me today.
Of course. I saw you on TikTok. I'm obsessed with TikTok. It's like my only glimpse into the world because, like Miss Ariana herself, I've been very serious about quarantine. I don't leave the house. And so it's so interesting to see things that I would probably never see, even if I was like out living in the world on TikTok all day. Came across you and I reached out and I said, it's my actual dream to be on an Ariana Grande podcast. Wow. Please consider me.
I love that.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm so excited that we found each other through TikTok. I love that. So since this is an Ariana Grande podcast, and you've already said that you love Ariana, but why do you love Ariana? Tell us.
So I remember watching, I think maybe the Today Show one day. It just was on in the morning and they're talking about her vocal range. And this was her kind of introduction to the world as Ariana Grande, the pop star.
Right.
She just had this single coming with Mac Miller. Mm-hmm. The Way was a great single. I really liked everything I heard from her. But I would say that my deep fandom of her really started to come into play when she started working with Nicki, because I'm the world's oldest Barb.
I'm kind of a Barb too.
I've been a Nicki fan since her mixtapes in like 05, 06.
Wow. Yeah.
So I'm like a freak for Nicki. And then when I started to see that she was in with Nicki, and then of course, who could have resisted the Pete Davidson and Ariana Grande of it all? I mean, I started out in gossip because that's who I am at my core. I love to talk shit. I love to get into it. I love to read into other people's business. Mm-hmm. So my journey with her has been a long one, I would say. Yeah.
Wow. I love that. So one thing that we DM'd about is you said you went to her tour 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to hear about your experience. And you were in the pit, which is everyone's.
Yeah. Favorite. So I went to see her in Inglewood, I think the first time around on the first leg of the Sweetener World Tour. And I bought my best friend, and we were kind of in the medium nosebleeds, like not the worst tickets, but still like $500 tickets, kind of like expensive. And then I was like, I need to see her one more time. I really want to sit in the pit, because I found out kind of through never really seeing her before how much she really plays to the front of the stage. And mm-hmm. while I think she's an incredible performer and absolutely can sell out stadiums and should, mm-hmm. she deserves it. I think that she would do so well in smaller venues with more performances, if that's even possible, because she just really plays to the front of the stage. Mm-hmm. It's not like a crazy stage show where, you know, like Miss Taylor Swift is like pulling out all these hat tricks or whatever. It's right. it's very low key, and you want to see it up close. So mm-hmm. I found out that there was still pit tickets available in Nashville, which is a city I've visited a couple times before, and I was like, I'll go to that show. Why not? That'll be just a weekend to mm-hmm. go see. It was a different experience than I imagined. There was definitely a lot of like shoving from the stands. Mm-hmm. It was during the throwing Christmas gifts out to the audience segment of the show, and someone I think like right in front of me got one, and I got low-key punched a little bit, which was fine. I can take it, you know. I'm like, okay, I got punched by a teenager, that's fine. I've gone through worse than that. But yeah, it was interesting. It was kind of a great experience. I'm glad I got to see it, but it was almost overwhelming to be that close. It wasn't how I'd sort of imagined it. Then there was the second to last show on the Sweetener tour in Inglewood again.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember DMing one of my friends and saying, like, is it sad if I go to see Ariana Grande by myself, like one more time? And she was like, no, spend your money, like go for it. So I bought a ticket, this one in between the pit and where I was the first time. So I got to see it from 3 different views. Yeah. It was a really great show. That was another reason why I wanted to go a third time, was like, I wanted to see it from yet another view, and support Ari, you know? So it was great. I can't pick a favorite out of the 3 shows I went to though, because they were all such different experiences.
Wow. Yeah. I love that. I also went twice. So you did one up me, but yeah, I went to the Detroit show, cause that's where my family's from. And I knew the tickets I was going to be, I live in New York most of the time, and I knew I was going to be out of town. So my family is in Michigan, so I flew to Detroit for the show. And then she was coming back to New York for the Christmas segment. And those tickets are so much more expensive in New York. And I was just like, I don't know, I'm just going to wait and see if things drop, or like see what happens. And then I ended up winning tickets through my job. And I got to go in a box for the second time. So I also saw it.
That's amazing.
You. Yeah. So it was very exciting.
That's amazing.
So what are some of your favorite Ariana songs?
Oh my God. I knew you were going to ask me this, and I wanted to ask you if you were going to ask me this. I mean, I'll go through the albums the best that I can. Okay. I would say my favorite off Positions is by far My Hair. I think that is one of the best songs she's ever done. It's that is where I want her sound to go. I, you know, am always willing to take whatever she's willing to give, but I really would like her sound to go in that direction. Just like these inches down my back. Usually don't let people touch it, but tonight you'll get a pass. Spend my dimes and spend my time to keep it real. Sometimes it's tracks, but I don't care. So run your hands through my hair. Baby, don't stop for evil. Come run your hands through my hair. This album felt very inspired by Mac and Doja for me. So I think those are great influences for her. But I think one of the things that both of those artists do have done very well is diversity in their music. You know, each track really sounding different. And I felt like there was so much uniformity on Positions that My Hair just stood out in a crazy way. I love Imagine. I am low-key a makeup stan. I'm one of, we're a niche group. God, off of Sweetener, I mean, I think God is a Woman is one of the best songs ever done. I'm a big fan of Good Night and Go, the original Imogen Heap song. So I loved her cover of it. I thought that was great. I really liked a lot of the work she did with Pharrell because he is one of my favorite producers of all time. So I know it's not popular in the community to really love the Pharrell stuff, but contextually, in terms of his career, I enjoyed it. Some other, I know I'm going to forget stuff that's like important to me, but I'll say like, you know, Tattooed Heart is great. My Everything is great. Any collaboration she's done with Nicki, big fan. One Last Time, I think might be probably my favorite Ariana song. And I even like Every Day. That's like a, that was a single that I felt kind of slept on, but was great. What about you?
Well, I love a ballad, like what you were saying. I feel like I love Tattooed Heart. I love Moonlight. I love My Everything. I'm drawn a lot to her big vocal ballads just because she's extremely talented, obviously. And then my favorite on Positions is I really like 630 and I really like Obvious. And then let me think. Thank You Next, I feel like has no skips. I feel like I like every single song. I've been loving Fake Smile recently.
Love Fake Smile.
Yeah. And In My Head, I feel like it kind of depends on my mood and like what kind of music, because she has a lot of different sounds. And so whatever I'm kind of drawn to in the moment, it changes like every single day because I'm such a big fan. I also love Only One. There's so many favorites.
I will say though that, you know, Ghostin is a great song. It doesn't jump to mind because it's something that I cry about every time I listen to it. It's, I just think it's so sad. And of course I forgot Needy, which I think is such a great song. What that song is really about, I don't know that that's ever been spoken out in music the same way that that was. It describes such a specific feeling and dynamic and mood. I love Needy.
I love Needy too. Wow. So many good songs. So something that I like to do with guests, Molly, is go through some of their tweets about Ariana Grande. So I have a handful from you. So I can just get started.
Okay. I'm such an asshole on Twitter, you guys. I want you to know that I'm like an internet old head. I've been on the internet since I was 12 years old. And I'm older than probably everyone listening. So I just want to let you know not to take me too seriously because I don't. So keep that in mind. I don't know what it's about to be said.
Okay. Well, I know you're an Ariana fan because there's definitely absolutely nothing negative about Ariana in any of your tweets. So do not worry.
Okay.
This one is from August 3rd, 2020, the day of the VMAs, when it was a response to some of the photos of Ariana at the VMAs. You said, "I'm so happy for her and her cute boyfriend and her whole ass life. I'm so proud of her. Wish I was Joan."
Yeah, I do. I do wish I was Joan Grande. Like, how proud of your daughter would you be if she was Ariana Grande? I can't handle it for Joan. I love that Joan also was crucial to making Ariana's career happen. Like, that was really a group effort. And it's so nice to see her in a better place. A lot of people feel like she got engaged too quickly, but I feel like if you can make it through a year in quarantine, you're probably set up for a decent relationship.
Very good point. Very good point. No, yeah, that's so true. I was watching Ariana did, she always does those interviews with Zach Sang. I don't know if you've seen them.
Of course I have.
Yes. Okay. So yeah, she talked about how when she was trying, it was like her dream to get on Nickelodeon, and her mom like was calling like any like contacts that she had and being like, how can I get my daughter on all that? And yeah, they definitely were like fighting for her career together.
Because wasn't she told by producers after she got off 13? I feel like producers told her that she wasn't ready for like a grown-up music career yet.
Right.
Like, LA and on a show. Which, by the way, I mean, what a belief you have to have in yourself for someone in a Broadway room to tell you, just go to LA and be like a TV star. And then we'll give you a music career. And like, no one can do that. There are people that live in apartments in LA with their children desperately trying to get their child even on a commercial.
Yeah.
But for Joan to be like, yeah, let's pick up, move to LA. Ariana will be on Nickelodeon in 2 weeks. Like, we'll make it happen.
So crazy. So crazy. Yeah, it was, she wanted to make like an R&B album at 13. And they were like, no one's going to listen to that. Like, you're too young.
And yeah, yeah, she's been a grown up her whole life.
It's crazy. So speaking of Joan Grande, you also responded to a tweet with a video of Joan where she's saying all the songs that she loves. And you said, piano does deserve respect because Joan said she liked piano. It's a throwback.
Yeah, it came on a mix coincidentally the day before I was tweeting back at someone about that. I love that video of Joan.
Right there, I miss it. I want to goddamn fucking see piano live because that song did not get any respect and I want it to have respect.
What was?
I miss my everything. I miss.
I mean, that's what everyone would hope their mom would say about their career. Like, what about the B-sides? What about the deep cuts? People didn't appreciate those enough.
Definitely. Okay, and last tweet. So I know you said you're an old head, but that's actually something I very much appreciate about you because you tweeted on December 4th, 2020 about Mariah and Ariana collaborating for the Christmas song this past Christmas, Hosanna. You said, it's like holidays, divas live, and I'm proud of Mariah for letting them do that with her. So I love that tweet because I think a lot of people probably don't even know about Holiday Divas Live, because it's so long ago, but that used to be a show on VH1, and Mariah famously sang All I Want for Christmas Is You, and it was a whole Christmas theme show.
Yeah, Divas Live, I think, started out on PBS.
Oh, even, really?
Maybe. Okay. Well, I just remember I volunteered at a PBS telethon when I was in high school, and one of like the things that they were giving away and airing throughout the night was one of the original Divas Live concerts, which was like Celine Dion, Shania Twain, Whitney Houston. And, you know, Mariah is definitely from that old guard. And I think traditionally is always kind of pitted against people slash she pits herself against people. And with Ariana just being such a mega talent and someone that has been compared to Mariah forever, probably against your own wishes, because you just kind of don't want to be that person that's getting compared to one of the greatest singers of all time. It's a lot to live up to. yeah, I was proud of Mariah for that. I thought that showed some nice humbling, a welcoming in of the younger generation, mm-hmm. a collaboration. I'm so glad I delete my tweets every 6 months. I have to tell you, because I've gone through some stages. I mean, one of the things I tweeted and deleted, I'll tell you,
okay.
was how I thought the Positions album in her world was very comedically driven and actually had elements of being a comedy album, to the point where I compared it to her going through like her Bloodhound Gang era, where she's doing sort of like this dirty, overt, very tongue-in-cheek humor, which, like, you know, she gets a lot of slams, and I understand it for being so plain spoken in her sexuality versus coming up with more metaphors in her writing and maybe describing sex and sexual acts in a more poetic way. I thought that her boldness and just going through with some of these lyrics were comedic choices. And we do have to remember she's a comedian before she's anything.
I actually completely agree with you. I felt like 3435 was very funny. And I feel like a lot of people who maybe don't know her humor, like, didn't fully get the joke of all of that. And also something I've been thinking about with 3435 is I think a lot of times Ariana, on the last three albums, she likes to have a track on the track list that, like, gets people's attention. Like, I think for Sweetener, it was Pete Davidson. Everyone was like, oh my gosh, what is this song going to be? Then on Thank You Next, it was Break Up With Your Girlfriend, I'm Bored. Everyone was like, what is that? And so I think she likes to pique your interest with a clever song title.
Oh, I was so scandalized when she announced that there was a song called Break Up With Your Boyfriend Girlfriend, I'm Bored. Like, I couldn't believe it. I was like, Ariana, this is almost too far. Like, what are you going to do to Cassie David? She's going to seize. Like, you cannot do that. But it's a great song. It's a great gimmick. I thought they did a really good job of sort of tidying up the message there with the video. I will say that I feel like she does rely on the videos a little too much in recent time to sort of explain the meaning of the song. Like, Positions really turned me off as a single until I saw, because I'm not going to lie, I did hear a leak, until I saw the video and I was like, okay, I know what she's saying. But based off of just hearing the single, I was like, oh, Ari, don't do this, like, just bald sexual stuff. Like, we don't, like, we've seen that on you before. And we, you know, we like that you're in a relationship, that you're down with Selena Gomez and want to be in all of those positions for him. I'm so happy for you. But, you know, it's a little bit of like a modern trick where she's relying on the music video to give the audience a hidden meaning, which I think could be better done in the lyrics, if I'm being honest. And what doesn't help with that is the enunciation, which we gotta tap into the enunciation. she can enunciate. She can.
Yeah, I agree.
Why she chooses that style where you don't really know what she is saying, except for the chorus, which you can like mostly understand on a first listen, I feel like it just downplays what the meaning of the song is supposed to be.
Right.
Like, if certain words were enunciated better, I think people would probably appreciate her music more. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's interesting. I feel like she was criticized for her lack of enunciation a lot at the beginning of her career. And then I actually felt like with Sweetener and Thank You Next, she improved a lot. But with this recent Positions, you sort of saw the criticism return. And I don't know, maybe she stopped caring as much, or she felt like she didn't need to enunciate as well because of all the success of those previous two albums. But yeah, it's still an issue for her sometimes.
I think that Dangerous Woman was her best in terms of enunciation. Like, I felt that was such a very commercial record, which we all know this was like Scooter's master plan to like get her over that hump officially. But I thought that Sweetener was was good in terms of enunciation. Thank You Next was a little messy, but that was an emotional album, so that mm-hmm. made sense. And I understand why for the Sexual album as well, she also sort of softened that enunciation because it's sexier, right? That she's mm-hmm. like really relying on her vocal range and less on, you know, the songwriting tricks. But all that said, I'm going to need to hear her enunciate on the next album. I'm mm-hmm. going to have to request that of her. As someone who I feel like I've sunk several thousand dollars into, Ariana, my only thing mm-hmm. I could ask for in return is to hear almost all of the words in a song. That would be the best for me.
Yeah, it's definitely a fair criticism. Okay, so my next question for you is kind of like what you were saying before, how you love gossip and celebrity and things like that. I dipped into your past again, I found a quote from an old interview of yours from Interview Mag that I thought was interesting. So they asked you to define celebrity, and you said celebrity just means being well known or famous. That's the meaning of the word. Obviously, our culture has experienced some serious evolution in regard to this entire concept over the last couple of decades, but that doesn't change the definition. And I thought that was very interesting, especially with Ariana being such a mass appeal celebrity, but at the same time, we also see TikTok stars are making music now, YouTubers, and sometimes I feel like Ariana is kind of the last of her kind in a way of being able to be so big and come from TV. But also sometimes I think maybe that model will always stay. So I was wondering.
I mean, isn't the biggest song in the nation right now from a girl that was on a Disney Channel show? Like,
yes.
So, I mean, I think that will always be a thing. I think that people will always come out of the Disney machine. Yeah. I definitely think like someone like a Dixie D'Amelio having her songs, it's a very clear career move. That's mm-hmm. always been sort of the way it is, where it's someone has a brief moment of celebrity, and if they can maybe sing, you know, that's how we got Paris Hilton's Stars Are Blind, right? Sometimes mm-hmm. you take a girl and you put her in a studio and some magic happens.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, especially when they've been sort of well-trained and have become well-connected in Hollywood in their youth, if they have any ability to sing, it would just be stupid to not, you know, give them an opportunity to get on a single or something. Yeah.
Definitely.
answer I gave in that interview, what's so funny about that is that you thought that was interesting and I was probably just like stoned and panicked and like trying to get through someone thinking I'm important enough to ask me questions. So that's nice. Thank you.
Of course. Let me think. So is there anything else with your love of gossip and Ariana that you've thought of with her? I know you are a fan of this new Dalton Gomez relationship that she's in, but have you followed her other massive relationships?
I know what's going on. So we got to get into this. There's no way that she is fucking Jim Carrey.
Oh, I didn't know that was a rumor.
Oh, that is like the item on Lipstick Alley, on all the, you know, I'm in the trenches.
That they had an affair?
It's been a major in the blind item world that allegedly Ariana is sleeping with her childhood crush, Jim Carrey. It continues to this day, because our girl does have a history of some crossover, I would say, in relationships. And people, you know, I think kind of in the rags refer to her as a serial cheater, which I don't think is fair.
I've heard those rumors. I have not addressed this on the podcast before, but I have heard those rumors on the dark web.
When I do, in just reality, think that Hollywood generally is very incestuous mm-hmm. and there's almost always some sort of weird crossover in these relationships. Like when things start to fall apart to when someone starts to see someone new. Mm-hmm. And then when we find that out, I mean, I would say Ariana and Pete, we kind of have all figured out that timeline.
Yeah.
More or less minute by minute. Like if you're sick like me, like you've really broken it down and said like, okay, when do I see the first cloud emoji sort of thing. Yeah, she has this like reputation, and this thing with Jim Carrey has been like front page of Lipstick Alley for like 2 weeks now. And listen, do I think it's possible that they maybe had like a thing when she was on Kidding? Mm-hmm. Possibly. It could have maybe been a thing, but I don't think Ariana's sneaking in and out of quarantine and that Joan is letting her sleep with someone who has such a complicated past himself. I mean, mm-hmm. not that Joan gives her permission, but I do think of them as that like classic Italian family that's like all together in the living room at 2 a.m. drinking wine. Like, I think that they stay up very late. I think the family's all very, you know, intertwined. I don't think that Ariana's slipping off to Jim Carrey's house. I just don't think it's the case. And I kind of resent like how nasty it is. Like, it's kind of like gross to think about her sleeping with this like much older man that mm-hmm. she lusted after at like 5 years old. Like, that's just kind of like gross. I think we can all admit that. And while she is a sexual woman and there's absolutely nothing wrong with age gaps or anything like that, I just think it's kind of crazy and disrespectful how far people have taken that one. I was reading a gossip thing today and people were going back and forth in the comments saying like, oh no, like it's for sure, it's like a fact that they're hooking up.
Oh my gosh, like,
that's not a fact at all. Like, I think that's insane, and I hate to even bring it to the table just because I don't want to call something to people's attention if it's not if it's not something they've heard before, but it's something that I've seen on all of the different Reddits, all of the different message boards, all that stuff, because I keep an eye out. I like to keep my ear to the ground and see what people are saying about my girl.
Wow. See, I thought that I was keeping my ear to the ground, but now I feel like I need to check Lipstick Alley more often, because I have not heard that rumor.
Yeah, the Ariana Grande discussion appreciation tea thread, I believe is what it's called. And it's over almost 400 pages deep now.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'm going to check that out after this. Next, I want to get into some Ariana Grande news. I like that you brought up Olivia Rodrigo, because that was pretty much the first thing on my list. So I actually did a TikTok about this that hit a million views.
Congratulations.
Thank you. But basically, Olivia Rodrigo, she came out with her song Driver's License, and she actually broke the record that Ariana previously had for Thank You Next being the most streamed. It's a very exact statistic. Let me make sure I get this right. She broke the record for Thank You Next for the biggest single day streams by a female artist in the U.S. All the streams happened in a single day. She broke that record that Thank You Next had previously had for 2 years.
Yeah. I mean, Thank You Next was a massive record. There was so much public stuff leading up to it. I think everyone was like eager for answers and for her expression of her art after everything she'd gone through. So there's no question why Thank You Next was so big. I think the streaming world has really changed music in general. That's why you're seeing just massive records broken all the time, like every day. There's some new crazy record broken. Yeah. And I'm happy for this girl. I think that, you know, it's that perfect storm of it taking off on TikTok right when it comes out versus some of the stuff that maybe starts to get traction a month or two after it's been out. And obviously the youngest, you know, generation is really interested in her. They have some sort of tie to it. There's also, from my understanding, if I'm going to be real with you, I haven't really heard the song. I just know of it from TikTok, basically scrolling through and how many people are making videos of it. And just sort of the things I've picked up online. But this song is also autobiographical, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm, she wrote it about her co-star, and people love that shit. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Like, can you, my generation's version of it was Justin Timberlake coming out with Cry Me a River.
Right.
Where you're seeing this very public narrative that was traditionally very private come out, and like kind of like overt slams where he had a double of Britney in his video, and it was, you know, just kind of shocking. So I think that it's a mixture of people genuinely finding the song and love it, and then a lot of people who have this deeper connection to the original story.
Yeah, definitely. It was just the total perfect storm of having this child star and the real life drama and the combination of TikTok and it being a breakup song was the perfect formula.
And I think like maybe the last couple of weeks, like a lack of gigantic music coming out. Mm-hmm. I know Selena Gomez had a big song come out this week, but for pop fans, I think that it's kind of been like a slow, I mean, I'm going to get corrected for this, but I think it's kind of been like a slow month comparatively to, you know, Taylor Swift dropping her albums, Positions coming out, like that really like took up a lot of the year.
Yeah, definitely. So this week, Ariana actually finished filming for a movie she's going to be in this year. I don't know if you've heard, but Ariana is going to be in a Netflix movie. It's called Don't Look Up, which is starring Leo and Jennifer Lawrence and Meryl Streep and Timothée Chalamet. It's a huge all-star cast. And it seems like Ariana has a smallish part. She filmed for 1 to 2 weeks and she wrapped that. My biggest prediction for 2021 is that Ariana is trying to become a movie star. I really see that happening. I don't know if you've seen any hints of that.
Oh, I think she's totally primed for that. Mm-hmm. I think that that is exactly the move that she should be doing because she's very capable at that. I think that she was great in Scream Queens. I thought she was really effective in her short cameo there. They might have filmed her scenes separately in LA. And most of the cast is in Boston. So it will be interesting to see if those scenes feel different at all and how they'll like actually pull that off. Because I can't imagine what that's like with most of the cast being in a totally different city than you.
Right.
But this is, you know, a great movie for her to sort of break her teeth on in the sense that it's one of those really great collaborative casts. And Adam McKay movie is like not unlike a Judd Apatow movie, I feel, where it has a very, you know, community feeling to it. And it's probably a great place for her to get started if she wants to get back into it. I would love to see her doing like a musical. I know that that's like the obvious answer, but I think that she's really one of the few talents that could pull it off in a way that's not cheesy or inauthentic. Like I'm looking at you, Cats. Like I felt like that was a really sort of unfortunate thing, but I think that she has that natural ability to make it work.
Yeah, definitely. It's interesting. She did that Hairspray Live that was on TV a few years ago, but it was kind of like her character was sort of like she was Ariana Grande, the persona playing that character. So I kind of would like to see her challenge herself to be like a completely different person in a movie.
Yeah, she wasn't a right fit for Penny for me. It's an iconic role though. I can understand why you wouldn't turn that down.
Of course.
But she wasn't a right fit for Penny. However, I don't really love those like live TV musicals. I think they're kind of, that's just not something I would tune into. But she has major potential to do whatever she wants in this industry. I really believe that.
Definitely. All night, fuck a jet lag. You bring your fine ass and overnight back. Add up the numbers or get behind that. Play and rewind that. Listen, you'll find that. I want that 6-9 without Tekashi. And I want your body and I make it obvious. Wake up the neighbors. We got an audience. They hear the clapping, but we not applauding. 6 o'clock and I'm crushing. Then it gets 7 o'clock and he won it. When it hit 8 o'clock, we said fuck it. Forget your girl. Pretend that I'm her. Can make a cap hurt. Can make my back hurt. Hey, make an ass work. The rain, the shower, the spray. Now that's and then our last piece of news would be, of course, yesterday the 34/35 remix came out, which I feel like the fans kind of expected that there would be a remix of this song, or I think probably because of the sexual content, it seemed would be, it seemed like a song that would be really fun to have female rappers on. And so she ended up featuring Doja Cat and Megan Thee Stallion on the song. So did you like the song? What did you think? The remix.
Well, first of all, I mean, I was so surprised it was Meg and not Nicki. It makes sense.
Right.
Just had a baby, but I was really like, you know, that's kind of cool to get Meg on your track right now. And like there's people are going to Meg, like Meg isn't necessarily going to people, you know? Everyone's eager to collaborate with her right now. And, yeah, I thought that that was an like a surprising, exciting thing. Doja is one of my favorite new artists. And I think that she's someone that a lot of Barbs love because she does have sort of an energy that a young Nicki Minaj had, which is sort of like scrappy and exciting. Yeah. And I love the diversity of her catalog. Like, I think you can, Doja can do any style of music, which is great. Like, you can really feel like how homegrown her talent is and how she's so passionate about music in a way that Ariana is, like when she was making her YouTube videos and experimenting with different types of production and sound very early on. That's someone who loves what they do. When you're at home making your own shit, when no one else is listening to it or reading it or, you know, buying it, that's when you're a real artist. So I respect that about both of them. I will say, I feel like the meaning of a remix has been lost somewhere.
Remixes
used to be like a full hands-on experience where they would take it, they would rip it apart, they would make all the best parts of it sound even better, and they would add even more onto it. And this feels like a, I don't know, it's like a diet remix where we're just getting, you know, an additional 9 seconds of music and they're sort of just sandwiched in verses. I don't think Megan's verse was as strong as her typical material, which
I agree.
You know, I think honestly was based off of what she had to work with. I think this was like an awkward song to put features in after the fact. Doja's verse, just I think honestly it was because we've kind of heard it in that Instagram live. It just wasn't surprising. So I had kind of heard it before. It sounded very much like Doja. I thought it was a good verse. It would pass on like one of her albums. It's like, oh, that's kind of cool. But I mean, really at this point, that's just like tinsel on a Christmas tree. It's like when the whole tree is already decorated and has lights and it's beautiful, and then you lay some tinsel over some of the branches, it's like, you know, it's really just, it's stuff you have to vacuum up on December 26th. That's all it is. It's not anything that big. So I thought it was okay. I wanted more, and I know that Ariana artistically is capable of more. I think that giving things the old school proper remix try is really worthwhile for someone like her, because she could blow it up. I mean, look at what Mariah did with Fantasy. Like, people love the remix more than they love the original, and it's iconic. It's a song that you can put on any bar, anywhere. Yo, New York in the house. It's Brooklyn in the house. Right. Uptown in the house. Charlotte, are you in the house? Boogie Down, are you in the house? And I think that not blowing out the remixes is sort of a lost opportunity in terms of getting a new audience in, because when they play like Thank You Next at a club or a bar, and I had never really experienced Ariana in that atmosphere before. Mm-hmm. I think like typically the clubs I go to are probably going to play more like straight hip hop, or you know, it's just like a dive bar where they play shitty 70s songs or whatever.
Yeah.
But like, you know, the mood really dropped, and I realized like she's not beloved by straight men. She does not appeal to like the, you know, over 30 crowd, even though myself I'm over 30, and I can go ahead and like sort of give a constructive note on that, which is that not blowing out your remixes is such a missed opportunity to get a new type of sound going and to bring people in and be like, oh shit, that's the remix. I love Megan Thee Stallion. I love Doja Cat. Yeah. Let me give Ariana Grande another chance. And a lot of people could argue she doesn't need their chance. She's not, it's not like she's flopping, right? She's killing it. But there's definitely people that have prejudgments on her. And when you have these massive artists that hipsters like, even, you could really get them into Ariana Grande that way, just from like a marketing perspective, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, no, that's so interesting. For those who don't know, I do want to clarify what you were saying about Doja Cat. She did tease her verse on Instagram Live, and it got a lot of attention because of the Tekashi 6ix9ine line. So a lot of people kind of had a feeling like, was this Doja Cat originally supposed to be featured on the song, or is there a remix coming? So there was a lot of buzz around that, and then it ended up being the same, pretty much, I think the exact same verse that she had teased on Instagram Live. But I definitely agree with you, Molly. I also wanted more. It would have been really interesting if she had totally ripped it apart and had it been a totally different sound. I also feel like it could have, if she'd had more featured artists, like Chloe and Halle recently did a duet remix that had City Girls, which a duo, and Doja Cat and Mulatto, who actually just changed her name to Big Lotto, another female rapper. And it was four women featured on Chloe and Halle, who are already a duo. And I think also Chloe and Halle had new verses on the remix too. So it was a ton of new verses. And I just felt like that was so fun, just to have so many women on the song. Like, it was a whole crew kind of. And so I would have loved to have that. And yeah, I definitely wanted more. And Megan's verse, I felt like she's like the queen of like dirty music.
Right.
So I would have liked, I wish her verse was like a little more memorable. But I still enjoyed it. It was cute.
Yeah, like put a new beat on it, you know, really like dig apart that sound. I love the idea. I mean, she historically collaborates very well. And not just in the way of like, you know, showing up and doing a couple lines on Good as Hell, which to me, like, that's almost cheating.
Yeah.
If I'm going to be real with you, that's like cheating the charts a little bit, because it's crazy to have like the biggest artist at the time come in and whisper two lines on a song that's already just like massive and have it rechart as its own song. It's I respect it. They definitely have to find new loopholes, especially now that like bundling is gone and all that stuff. But I feel like if I had an opportunity to bring Megan Thee Stallion and Doja together in on a song, I would want to properly collaborate, because her true collaborations, like Bang Bang, corny as it is, like that song is three artists that of totally different worlds coming together and creating a great song from the ground up. I know like they didn't sit there and write it together, but it's, that was like a full team effort, and I would have loved to see that.
A moment, definitely. Okay, well, Molly, we talked about everything. Do you have any final thoughts about Ariana before we go?
I love her engagement ring.
I do.
I know people, some people out there weren't a big fan.
Yeah.
I don't think they understand art. Yeah, they don't understand art. Like, there's a real thing going on there. And in a world where she's like, here, I'm going to flip this sideways, and like, it can be kind of annoying. Like, you're watching the documentary with like your head on. It's like as far as it can be, like, because you just want to see the full video. I kind of like if she's going to pull the asymmetry thing, I like that she did it with the ring like that. I think that that was a very thoughtful design. And generally, I'm just proud of her. I hope she has a great, you know, I hope she has a great wedding. I'm, you know, happy for Joan. I do wonder, do you think she, like, how often do you think she talks to Frankie?
Good question. I don't know if I've ever thought about that. I wonder how it is with them in quarantine right now. I know, I mean, they used to hang out as a family a lot, like they used to go to Universal together all the time.
Yeah.
Hang out. There was that one video of them during quarantine after Rain on Me came out and they did the choreography together.
Do you think she ever calls him first? I just don't think she reaches out.
No, it's a good question because I don't know if I've ever thought this deeply about Frankie Grande. I feel
weird. I think about Frankie Grande all the time. Yeah.
I don't know. I guess I've never thought that deeply about their relationship. I mean, I know they are half siblings, so I don't know too much detail about how they grew up together. I wonder, I feel like they do text and I feel like they hang out at each other's houses.
He's so proud of her.
Definitely. Like, he definitely is.
And I would be too. If she was my sister, I'd be like, no, like this is the best thing in the world. I think their family's adorable. I love them together. Yeah. And I love that they had that single mom dynamic for so long. And frankly, I'm glad that she's on a good page with her dad now too.
Yeah, definitely.
Showed a lot of growth and maturity on all of their parts. I don't know what happened there, but it's great that they're back together now. I think it's cute.
So true. Okay, well, thank you so much, Molly, for joining me. It was truly so great talking to you. So where can the listeners find you?
Thank you for letting me come on your podcast. I have a Lifetime movie podcast called Mother May I Sleep With Podcast, and you can find that anywhere you listen to podcasts. But also I have a network called Solid Listen, and we have a bunch of different shows. A lot of it is about pop culture. We have a show about celebrity relationships. We have a show about Degrassi. We have a show about Teen Mom. And we also have a great podcast that's this guy, Brad King, who's kind of a veteran writer interviewing authors every week. And I think 70% or more of the writers he has on are women. So we, you know, that show's all about sort of finding out what's going on with these writers, their backstories, a lot of best-selling books. And it's really exciting. So check out solidlisten.com if you want to see our shows and find out about our programming.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Molly. It was so great talking to you.
Yes. Thank you for having an Ariana pod. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you. Okay, so thank you so much to Molly again for calling in. It was so great talking to her. I felt like she was so insightful and it was truly a joy meeting her virtually and everything. So definitely check her out. Check out her podcast network. I'll have all her info in the description. And as always, make sure you're subscribed, you're following wherever you listen to podcasts. Please leave a review and help me meet that goal of 100 ratings. And as always, follow at Ariana Podcast everywhere. And I will see you next week for another episode of Young, Beautiful, Successful. Bye. Peace. Girl, you too, you are so young.